January 18th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. You will see a lot of very, very interesting links associated with each guest that will help to contribute to your knowledge about that particular day's discussion. For today's program, I have links that show fatality statistics and a link where one can identify the gun-related legislation that is occurring in each state. So it's really important to click on those resources today, but not during the program. Wait till we're done, unless we refer to one of the particular links. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Michael Walsh. He is the author of The Triumph of Reason, The Thinking Man's Guide to Adolf Hitler. It is a compilation of Adolf Hitler's statements. He also wrote Witness to History, which is now available on Kindle at Amazon, and Behind Enemy Lines, The Reich Had Its Heroes Too, and also Heroes of the Reich. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Hello, and welcome to you from Europe. How are things in the United States?
Things are getting very, very interesting here.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Indeed. I'm afraid you're right.
Yeah, there's interesting times ahead, Deanna. And, it's not so much my generation. It's of interest to me. You know, I won't be around that very much longer, you know, but I do feel for the teenagers and those in their 20s. They are really going to have an interesting ride.
Indeed. They won't know what hit them, correct?
Yeah, I just wonder if they can adapt to it. We did, my generation, I can't speak for you, Deanna, but my generation from the post-war, we came from a period in which you really did get all of your own food in. You know, shops didn't do very well at all. It was either killed or it was grown. But, these days, I met a 20-year-old recently, and he was quite excited because he'd seen his first sprout. He didn't even know how sprouts were produced. So what happens if this generation falls on hard times and everything came out of a can?
Right. He had seen his first what?
Sprout. It's like a small cabbage, a cabbage about the size of an egg cup.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they're coming over here. We have them at Christmas. It's a Christmas thing for the Christmas plate. But this is sprouts. You will definitely have sprouts. But
sprouts, yes. Yes, yep. You have to have a lot of seeds in order to have sprouts.
Yeah, you bet. But, I'm coming across people now who can't light a fire. You know, what's going to happen to these people? I know people who can't add up. They can't take away. You know, if the computer breaks down in the supermarket, they are lost.
Oh, indeed. And all they have to do is have the truck stop running, and those shelves will be empty within, a very short period of time, maybe a week or less. All right, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Michael Anthony's Private Stock, your source for all natural, high quality, affordable, energizing, rejuvenating, powerful, healing herbal formulas. Hi, I'm Michael Anthony. Over 25 years ago, I designed my own line of herbal formulas to serve as allies in defending the body's health and well-being. My product line is a complete arsenal of protection. To find out more about my exclusive formulas, call 845-231-1094, 845-231-1094, or email michaelanthonysprivatestock@yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's exclusive herbal formulas.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
The author of many good books, and today we're going to talk about gun control in Germany, 1928 to 1945. It's very interesting that with this recent alleged shooting on December 14th, that all of a sudden we have all of this gun legislation, all of these stories about, and the comparisons of Hitler to Obama. Now, I think most people have a very erroneous idea of what Hitler allegedly did when he became chancellor. And he didn't do what most people have been indoctrinated to think he did. In fact, most of what most people know about World War II is, in fact, propaganda designed to accommodate other objectives. And we see the same thing happening here.
Yeah, he's a bogeyman, isn't he, Adolf Hitler, and anything, and the truth really doesn't come into it, does it? The vast majority of what we hear and read and see about the Third Reich is pure theatre, and you can bet your life in most cases that quite the opposite happens.
Exactly. We hear that he supposedly got rid of all of these books, and he got rid of this and got rid of that, when in fact it was the Allies that came in and destroyed most of the books between 1930, those printed between 1933 and 1945, including all the school textbooks. And he loosened up gun control in Germany. He felt that everybody ought to have a gun. And I feel the same way about the people in this country. All of us should have a gun. And if you don't have one, you better go out and get one.
Yeah, they could be going that way because of the nature of the United States. I'm not so sure it's the same thing, holds true of Europe. And I've been giving this some thought. And most of the revolutions, the successful revolutions that have overthrown despicable regimes, including the Soviet Union, were done without force of arms and were carried out by a disarmed populace. So, yes, I know that guns are important to Americans because of their pioneering background, which goes back several hundred years. So it is ingrained in the mindset, but it is not the only way to stand up to oppression. Remember that the Irish, for 700 years, suffered British oppression, and it took 700 years of shooting Britons before they actually got some form of independence. So it's useful as a backup, but it's not absolutely essential. When the former Eastern Bloc collapsed, when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was very, very little gunfire, that was used, except from the authorities, and it didn't do them an awful lot of good.
Now, are you talking about the collapse in 1991?
Yep, 1989 and right the way through, Lech Walesa in Poland, it was civil disobedience and there were the marches. But civil disobedience is a much more powerful tool, in my opinion, than guns. Because remember that after 1945, after the war had ended, the Baltic countries, the Ukraine, Poland, Bulgaria, all of these countries, they had a most fantastic citizens' militia operating out of the forests of these great countries, and they were fighting communism long after the peace treaties had been signed or not been signed. As late as the 1950s, Latvians were in their forests popping off, the Reds. But the authorities will always have the whip hand, because what they will do, and they did this in Latvia, they will just go into a village, they will just take the 200 or 300 occupants or 1,000 occupants out of them, they'll make them stand around the village green, and then randomly they will just pick 10 teenagers, they will take them to the nearest tree and they will hang them. Just to instill terror. And when that happens, that is when people start harassing on those who are fighting the battle. So it's only part that this is something that those in favor of the gun lobby have got to remember, that in all conflicts, the government always will bring in reprisals and they will turn the people against those who are using arms. Interesting.
Yeah. Yes, it
is. Germans did it. This is part of any army's handbook. It doesn't matter which army handbook you pick up. It could be the British one, the American one, is that it gives, and this is passed in law, is every country is different, so I can't quote from any one, but it just simply means that if partisans strike the German forces in occupied Yugoslavia, or anywhere else in that world, or if they strike the British forces in Kenya, anywhere like that in Burma, then the British forces or the German forces, the French, it doesn't really matter, in Indochina, is they are perfectly entitled to go into a village, take 50 people at random and kill them, and they do. And that is what will happen in the United States, I'm afraid.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about partisan warfare, and certainly, but that's in the case of war. I mean, when Germany and the Soviet Union were fighting, there was a lot of partisan troops, and these are civilians who are fighting an occupying enemy, an occupying force, and it is really against international treaties for there to be partisans who are going after the occupying force, because they are supposed, the two military forces should be fighting each other. And so when when partisans who are not dressed in any kind of uniform go after the enemy, they stand a chance of being killed, and a greater chance of being killed because they shouldn't be fighting to begin with. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that let's take Latvia or Estonia or Lithuania as an example. They were part of the Soviet Union in 1945 right up till 1990-1991. But for a long period after the war, up until nearly the 1960s, there were partisans, Latvians, Estonians and Lithuanians, who are actually living for years in the forests of these great countries. And they were fighting the Red Army. And it was a battle that they just couldn't win. Now, if you do get social breakdown, and it is a very real possibility in the United States, then you're going to get people who are going to go into the forests of Louisiana and Mississippi and Missouri and all the rest of it, and they're going to take up arms. You know, they've already done it, only in small ways. But when it escalates out of all control and the American armed forces are regarded as a force of occupation, that is when you get a situation very, very similar to what you had in Poland during the Lech Walesa days.
Okay. Well, I think what I am anticipating, and is a real very real possibility, is that it won't be an occupying army, but it will be the gangs. I did a program last week where the guest talked about all of the gangs and the criminality, and we see that in places such as Detroit and other places where police force has been reduced to just about nothing, and to where a criminal element takes over the society, and they will just come into your home. And if you are not, they will just walk into your house and start trashing it, and you are totally defenseless. And so I think in this situation, whether you're talking about criminal gangs, protecting yourself against criminal gangs, or whether you're protecting yourself against an actual official army or an official police force, I think it's important that you are able to protect yourself against whatever element happens to come in your house uninvited.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the American slogans. As you know, Deanna, I had a gun shop in Britain for a number of years, and at the period of the Hungerford shootings, in which this crazy guy went out and he killed 16 people plus himself. Then there was the most appalling outcry, and of course I was in the center of this hurricane. I was never off television, radio, and newspapers. I think I was regarded as the only gun owner in Britain. But it didn't make an awful lot of difference. People don't realize it, but in Britain, it is probably one of the easiest countries in the world to have, to own legitimately a gun. But there isn't, in actual fact, very, very much gun crime in Britain, and as in the United States. How are you going to disarm the criminals? You can disarm the ordinary people, but how are you going to disarm the criminals? It's not possible.
Right, because they got their guns illegally most of the time, and certainly the police don't know that they have them, where people who actually buy them are registered, and they know exactly who has them. Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break, and when we come back, we'll talk about gun control in Germany. Be right back.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. G-E-O-F-F-L-A-W-T-O-N.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Dana, and our guest today is Michael Walsh. It's very interesting. I bought a gun last Friday. And the gentleman at the store that I bought it from was telling me, as he was showing me some German-made revolvers, automatics, he was telling me about the wonderful gun that his father had brought back from Germany that, and I, at that point in our conversation, I really started listening, and he said, you know, My father was over there, and he brought this gun back. And in my mind, I was thinking, yes, he stole it from a German citizen because most of the German citizens had guns. And I got an email from a friend of mine this morning, and she said Hitler was not bad. Germany was not bad. Hitler did not outlaw guns. Hitler did not ever want to take over the world. He did not ever try to take over the world. He destroyed communism in Germany. The German citizenry loved Hitler because he brought peace, prosperity, and national pride back to Germany after all that the German citizens had been subjected to ever since World War I. And he did not have concentration camps where he killed 6 million Jews. He did not have work. He did have work camps for the war effort. He did not ever have a plan, nor did he seek to kill Jews. He did push for Jews to immigrate, and actually many of them did before the war ever started. And remember that Jews had been expelled from countries over 100 times in history because of their atrocious acts and deeds committed against their host nations. More than half of the Jews living in Germany did emigrate before World War II. It's very interesting that most of the things that she mentioned in her email are things that people just they just don't know. Because of the media ownership in this country and other countries, the media is owned by special interest. It is controlled largely by Jewish interest. And so we have a tendency to believe anything that we read in the newspaper or anything that we hear on television. And we have to understand that most of the stuff that we hear on TV, particularly the History Channel, or as some people refer to it, the Hitler Channel, that these things simply are not true.
Yeah, it's, I've said this before, is thank the Lord for the internet. And the Daily Mail is the big newspaper, popular newspaper, Middle England, if you like, in Great Britain. And I think it's the biggest, the most widely read newspaper online in the world. So it's had a good readership. Now, they are a little bit like the History Channel. Every day there is articles about the Third Reich, and of course they're really way off the top of your head, their lies and all the rest of it. But the interesting thing is not the article itself, but the correspondence that the readers who get the opportunity to make comments on those articles as they appear. And it's absolutely refreshing to see so many positive comments about the Third Reich. And they can only be getting it from sources that are outside the palace media. And I was absolutely thrilled the other day when I see in one of the correspondents replying of several hundred, mostly critical of the Daily Mail for being so propaganda over the top. And he said, why don't you, he said in his little note, why don't you pop out and see, pick up a copy of Michael Walsh's The Thinking Man's Hitler and learn what really happened. And I thought that was really great. But people are waking up. But it isn't the mainstream media that is doing it. They are now on the defensive.
Indeed. That is so true. I have a link in the web on my website today, and it's the statistics from the World Health Organization about the latest murders. Let's see. Yes, it is the latest murder statistics for the world. Murders per 100,000 citizens. And the very, very, very top one is Honduras at 91.6. And people are simply not going to believe that the United States is the very lowest with 4.2. And all of the countries above that have greater numbers, and there's probably, I would say four dozen countries that have higher murder rates than the United States. And all of those countries have gun bans. And so I really totally believe that everyone should have a gun. And it is not because we need to fear our government or something like that, but simply for self-protection.
Yeah, I remember reading years ago, Diana, I can't remember the name of it, and I don't think you could pronounce it, actually. It was a French-named town in the United States, and there it was illegal for you not to have a gun. And if you didn't have a gun in your home, then you had to fill out a little bit of bureaucratic paper to justify it, and there was no crime in that town at all.
All righty, we are going to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Michael Walsh, the author of The Triumph of Reason, The Thinking Man's Guide to Adolf Hitler. And I think that, as you mentioned, the person that was responding to the news article talked about that booklet, which is a very good book. It's the first one that I ever purchased of yours, and it's very good. I also have another book. It's called Gun Control in Germany, 1928 to 1945, which was written by William L. Pierce, and I have a soft copy. It's a booklet. It's not very, it's got 48 pages. And part of that I have linked on today's date regarding gun control in Germany. And it was written by William L. Pierce. It's not as lengthy, but certainly gives you the parameters of what the facts are.
Yeah, he was a great American, William L. Pierce, and very much my generation. I was weaned on, the fact that he was so influential in the United States, and we need more people like him. But the irony is that it was the Allies after 1918, after the Great War, who suppressed gun ownership in Germany, and it was very, very much suppressed, and it was only lightly lifted during the Weimar Republic. And it was not until the Third Reich came about, especially in 1938, when holding a firearm in National Socialist Germany was very much like owning a car in the United States. Anybody, obviously, just as you register a car and your license in the United States. The same applies anywhere where there's any form of gun ownership. But Germany was no different in that respect. Remember, Germany is a big country, and remember, too, we're not talking about today, we're talking about the 1930s now, and hunting was as common as farming, so it was not possible to disarm a population. Whether we're talking about Germany, Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, you know, guns were, usually were in Britain. They're just farm tools for the most part.
Michael, you keep fading in and out. I'm not sure whether you're, whether it's your Skype, or whether it's your headset, or...
Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit closer to the microphone. It's a new laptop that I've got. And,
I remember, yes.
That's right. And if this doesn't work, then in the next session, what I will do, I'll stick the microphone in and see if that works any better. But okay. I'll try and pay attention. I tend to be very, very much relaxed when I'm in the studio here. And I tend to lull about and move my head away from the microphone. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's very interesting that that William Pierce points out that when Adolf Hitler was out and about and riding in public, and he usually rode standing up in an open car, and it would move slowly through the cheering crowds. So people, the citizens of Germany, loved him. And communists made several attempts to assassinate him, and the government was pretty, they stamped down really hard on communism and virtually wiped it out in Germany. And the people loved him so much that, and they had mutual trust and respect, which is what Pierce points out, that he was not concerned about getting shot, getting assassinated. And we note that in this country, that, Obama, the current president, is absolutely surrounded by people who have guns to keep him safe.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you're looking at many of these photographs that are shown in the palace media, as I call it, you're seeing pictures of the Führer's parades and his visits to various towns and cities. And it is interesting to note, now you have a look in Britain or France, when the crowds are lining up along the streets to see a head of state going past, the police who are holding the crowd back, they are looking at the crowds and they have, the police have their backs to the parade, right? They're looking for anybody in the crowd who may be hostile. Now, take a look at those pictures of the Third Reich again, and you will find that the troops have got their backs to the crowds. They're not facing the crowds because it was inconceivable that a hand would be raised against the Führer. What they're doing is they're holding the crowds back with their backs. They are not. They don't find any necessity at all to scan the faces to see if anybody wishes any harm against the Führer. It was totally unthinkable. There wouldn't have been a hand raised against him in all Germany.
And why do you suppose that is? And we hear that he was a tyrant, and yet when you see all of these pictures, when you see the crowds, and these aren't just made-up crowds, these aren't staged crowds, you can see the density of the crowds of people.
Yeah, and it's without any precedent at all. And I've talked to people who are not political, and I've asked them a simple question. Can you name me a single person in 1,000 years of European history who has been more popular than the Führer? And of course they cannot.
Indeed. Because he did what my friend said he did. He brought peace. He unified the German people. And certainly there was gun legislation in Germany. It was imposed during the Weimar Republic and right after World War I. And then when he came into power, he didn't address this issue right away because there were other things that were more important. But we're told that the very first thing that he did in Germany was to round up all of the guns. No, the first thing that he did in Germany was to unify the German people so that they would not be fighting as they do in this country with the Republicans against the Democrats and the unions against big business and all the diversity and the distraction that we have in this country with the illegals against the citizens. We have the multiculturalism here in this country has divided us into so many factions. And you didn't have that in Germany. He came in and he unified the people, and he because he wasn't working for the corporations, he wasn't working for the big bankers, he wasn't working for any one sector, he was working for everybody in Germany. And they knew it, and he unified them, and that is why they loved him.
Yeah, well, you've got in the United States, and you've got exactly the same in Britain and large parts of Europe, unfortunately, including Germany, is you've got a new form of tribalism. When Adolf Hitler was being elected, I think, going on memory, that there were about 33 political parties, and these were tribes, of course. You can't describe them as otherwise, and they were all fighting each other, and now, the German people were divided 33 ways in their political belongings. But when Adolf Hitler was in there, there was absolutely no need, simply because the state was looking after everybody. And when in 1933, upon his election, he asked the German people to give him a short period of time, and then they would have the perfect right to vote in a free election as to whether they wanted him to continue, as they had done, then of course the vote was overwhelmingly, it was just under 100%. And this is the reason why it would be difficult. Even the Jews themselves conceded his popularity, and many, many Jews, to their credit in Germany, were very, very critical of the American Jews who were so hostile. The American Jews, by whipping up hatred against National Socialist Germany, were actually making things difficult for the Jews in Germany, who were not having such a hard time at all.
Exactly. And in fact, they said, hey, these things aren't going on that are reported in the American news. We're not having any persecution. We're not having any of those things that the media is reporting. Certainly, there were some isolated cases where people suffered persecution or they suffered violence, but those were isolated incidences where individuals were involved. It was never sanctioned by the government at all.
Yeah, and sorry, but this is a point that is often forgotten. At the time, in the 1930s, there was a great deal of anti-Semitism. It was endemic right the way throughout Europe. And in actual fact, if you were a Jew walking through the streets of London in 1935, you were much more likely to be attacked than you would be if you were walking through Hamburg or Dresden.
Exactly. In fact, there were more pogroms and more violence in Poland because they're 10%, their population consisted of 10% Jewish people. And the government did sanction persecution against them, and many of them felt, in fact, they actually immigrated to Germany because they felt that they would be safer in Germany than they were in Poland.
And they were absolutely right, of course. They were far safer even in National Socialist Germany because the Germans were extremely well disciplined. And anything of bordering on bad nature or antisocial behavior was absolutely frowned upon where it wasn't in countries like Poland. And remember, too, that in countries, bordering countries like Romania and Hungary and Bulgaria, the anti-Semitism there was far, far more endemic than it was in National Socialist Germany. But the war just gave the Allies a rod to beat the German back with, and it really is time that the German people, I hope that they're getting there, just got off their knees and just said, hey, you know, we've had enough of being made the scapegoat.
Right. And of course, this was an ongoing situation from World War I, and it was because of British greed and because of the British mentality that did not want to have any kind of competition. And Germans were very industrious. They were moving ahead industrially. They had many patents. They were very businesslike. They weren't lazy. And Brits didn't like it. They did not like it one bit. And so they started gearing up for warfare against Germany as early as 1904.
That's right. They've always followed divide and rule. They were they allied themselves with France against Germany. They allied themselves with Germany against France. And if it wasn't for the German assistance, then Napoleon would not have been defeated at Waterloo. So the British have always followed a program of divide and rule, and when one, either Germany or France, because they were the only countries that could compete with the British Empire, when either of those looked as if they were getting too big for their boots, then of course Britain always goaded the other one, either Germany or France, to have a go and to keep them checked down. That was true of the Napoleonic Wars, and it was absolutely true of the First World War and the Second World War, and Winston Churchill agreed with it. He said it was nothing at all to do with fascism. It was a trade war. But what young man is going to give his life for a trade war? So it has to be dressed up as something else.
Sure. All righty. Now, Hitler became chancellor on January 30th, 1933. He didn't even think about rewriting any gun laws for 5 years. As you mentioned, 1938 is when they changed the gun laws. And they exempted long guns from the requirement. You had to have a purchase permit. The legal age for gun ownership was lowered from 20 to 18 years of age. The period of validity for a permit to carry weapons was extended from 1 to 3 years. And provisions restricting the amount of ammunition or the number of firearms an individual could own was dropped. And yet all we hear about is how they criticize him and his administration and say that he seized all of the guns. And it just is not true. And there are several groups in this country that are promoting that idea. In fact, there are a lot of people in the alternative media that are promoting that idea, and they compare Obama to Hitler, and there's just no comparison when you actually look at the facts. They had no intention of preventing law-abiding citizens from keeping or bearing arms. And what the laws did was enhance the rights of the Germans to keep and bear arms, and they didn't add any restrictions. They didn't add any pre-existing restrictions. They basically let them have them. Now, at the end of the Second World War, it was a different story, because then the Americans took over.
That's right, and severely restricted, as they had in 1918, they severely restricted gun ownership, and as a matter of fact, in 1945 and 1946, even a child was found with a gun in the house, even though he was innocent of knowing it was there. That child, no question about it, would be taken out and hanged. Anybody would, who was found with a gun. So those guns that were legitimately in all of the German homes, while the Third Reich was in position and Adolf Hitler was their elected leader, those guns would have been in the same cupboard. They would have got you hanged when the Britain and France and the United States occupied Germany.
Right. Now, in 1945, it was General Eisenhower that ordered all privately owned firearms in the American zone of Germany to be confiscated. And of course, I mentioned that this gentleman that I bought a gun from last Friday, his father had brought one back from Germany. And the troops, the U.S. troops, looted tens of thousands of pistols and brought them back to the United States after the war. And it was absolutely forbidden that anybody in the American zone of Germany to have a gun. And this is the same thing that this in the Soviet occupation zone, that German civilians would be shot, as you said, if they found a gun in the possession or even a single cartridge.
That's right. Any evidence at all, and
all righty, we do have to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Michael Walsh. He is the author of The Triumph of Reason, The Thinking Man's Guide to Adolf Hitler. It's a compilation of Adolf Hitler's statements and several other good books, and I love his, you're very concise in your writing, and people really appreciate that.
Thank you, Diana. Writer of the Year for 2011. I'm forgetting the years that I'm living in now.
All righty. It's very interesting in looking at Germany that the German weapons law of March 18th, 1938, specifically excluded Jews from manufacturing or dealing in firearms or munitions, but It did not exclude them from owning or bearing personal firearms, even though they had declared war on Germany in 1933.
And that seems to me a pretty easygoing regime, if I may say so, because at around about the same time, or rather in the case of the United States, which came into the war a little bit later, all those who had any family background in Italy or Germany were just rounded up, whether they had guns or not, and they were put into concentration camps. So were those of Japanese extraction. So they were pretty easygoing, the Germans, on those who had already declared war against them, not so the United States or Britain. There were many, many more concentration camps in the United States than there were ever in Germany.
You're right. And oftentimes we only hear about the Japanese being rounded up and having their property seized from them. We're not talking just a gun. We are talking all of their property, their land, their homes, everything. And we never hear about the Germans that were rounded up or the Italians that were rounded up and also placed in camps. Now, Germany did round up some, in 1933, they did round up some communists, and there's no distinction between whether they were Jewish or whatever, but they were communists, or they were people who were found guilty of some crime, and they were put into camps. But there was never any kind of a special plan to round up all of the Jews in Germany or in any of the occupied countries and incarcerate them, and there was never any plan to exterminate them.
That's right, and it's always interesting to know that these people that you've been talking about, CNN, History Channel, and all the rest of the palace media, they're talking about the lie, the confiscation of guns in the Third Reich, which of course didn't happen. The guns were handed back to the people. But, you know, they never ever mentioned that in the communist world, which they did precious little about criticizing, there, never mind a gun, you only have to be found with the wrong kind of book in your library, and you were taken out and sent to a prison camp or hanged or shot.
Right. It's kind of interesting. We do have groups in the United States, excuse me, that are Jewish, that are for guns. In other words, they are for the Second Amendment. And if you look kind of behind the curtain, you will find that those are the same groups that have interest in munitions companies. Okay, we'll deal with that on the other side of the break. We're going to our station ID. We'll be right back.